Hey, y'all. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. This is when Jesus calms the storm. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So often this passage is understood in a kind of an individualistic way, where we're the boat, or we're a disciple on the boat, and maybe there's something chaotic happening in our lives, and we need to be calm because Jesus is in the boat with us. And it's certainly true that Jesus is present in Christians' lives, but there's a really much bigger, broader theme that this passage opens up, and it's worth paying attention to it. And what I want to do is look at the sea and how significant the sea is in Scripture, and note the way in which this passage is sort of connecting to all these other themes of the sea in Scripture. So if you just go chronologically, in Genesis 1, the sea is this dark, chaotic thing out of which God brings order and power, note, by word, right? God uses a spoken word to bring this chaos into calm and to create a perfectly ordered world. So there it's this primordial chaos that God has to bring order to, and he does. In Exodus, think of the Red Sea. There in Exodus, Israel is delivered by God, as it were, taming the sea and saving Israel, making a road through the sea so they can go and become his people. And so beginning in Exodus, we get this kind of pervasive biblical theme that the sea is associated with Gentile nations, often oppressive Gentile nations. But again, God brings order out of chaos of the sea. God divides the sea to deliver his people. And then if you look at the Psalms, and I'm just going to give you a sampling, this notion of God calming the sea, and the sea is this sort of destructive, chaotic, enslaving force. Think of Psalm 46, where it says, "God is our refuge and strength, and even if the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, we will not fear." Psalm 89, verse 9 says, "You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them." Psalm 107, 23, or starting in about 23, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. That's almost a direct quotation of this Mark passage. And then Isaiah 51, 9, "Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake, as in days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over?" So again, this repeated theme of the sea is this chaotic force of destruction and enslaving. And then we get this association of the sea with monsters, with the dragon. And then we could take it forward to the prophets. Jonah, in fact. It's very important to pick up this Jonah theme because it has come up a good bit in this gospel. Jesus said the sign of Jonah is the only sign he would give. We'll notice what happens in Jonah. Jonah is sent on a mission to a Gentile nation, to an empire, to a monstrous empire. He knows God will grant them repentance, and he doesn't want that. And so he flees into the ocean to try to cross the ocean to escape this mission. And ultimately, he's cast down into the ocean. And here's the ironic thing about that story. He inadvertently converts the crew, right? It seems as though they have a positive response to who this is. So again, there's that association of the sea with the Gentile nations. I think Jonah is, among other things, a prophecy of what would happen to Israel. They would be cast into the sea of the Gentiles in exile, and they would be raised up again and called or recalled to their mission. So, among other things, Jesus is being associated with, first of all, the power of God in creation and the power of God in deliverance. What God did in the Old Testament in those major events, Jesus is doing. And so the disciples question, what manner of man is this? Who is this? That's the precise question they should be asking. And the answer should be, if they're thinking scripturally, well, somehow this man, this Jesus of Nazareth, is God. Right? And in the Gospel of Mark, nobody gets this until the very end. And the person who does get it is a Gentile. So again, Mark is telling us that Jesus has the power of creation and the power of deliverance. He's also telling us that Jesus has this intention that God has always had to bless the nations, these monstrous nations. He wants to bring the blessing of salvation to all these nations. He can overcome them by bringing them to peace in the gospel. Let me tie this in to one last sea theme. In the book of Acts, Paul is on a ship headed for Rome, the beast of the day, right? It's the monstrous Gentile nation of the day. By the way, he's headed more or less in the same direction that Jonah was trying to go in getting away from his mission. Here's Paul bound in chains, as it were, on this ship. They're cast away at sea. They've gotten rid of their anchors. They're being driven along. Most likely, in most cases, they would have died. But God tells him not a soul on board the ship is going to be lost. And they all make it ashore alive. And they fulfill this mission to bless the nations. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, after this, what we find is Jesus goes over to a Gentile area, to an area with Gentiles and with demons, and he brings blessing. He drives out the demons and he heals a man. So, does this Gospel passage teach us that God is with us and we need to not fear when bad things are happening? Absolutely, yes. But more richly, and I think more biblically, it teaches us that God is with the church in her mission of fulfilling the call to bring the blessings of the gospel to all nations. And he's with them even when maybe they're cast into the heart of the sea, maybe even when it looks like there's a shipwreck, when it looks like all is lost, and maybe even the mission of the gospel can't be carried forward. Jesus, I think, is telling us that he's with us in that mission, and that he is going to see to it that his mission is carried out, even if it means bringing life out of death. So may we have confidence in Jesus, the one who is in the ship with the church as she is on her mission, and may we have our hearts set on that mission, regardless of the seeming setbacks, regardless of the seeming failures. Amen.